Chapter 10, The Raptor is Compromised. "What happened, Kathy?" asked Rachel anxiously. The Starman's wild eyes looked piercingly into Rachel's. "Our entire solar system is going to be frozen in time, just like the shadows on this planet." "Rachel, just like the temporal anomalies on Larson's Folly. We're helpless. One lone Lucian down on this planet can do all that. He showed me." "Calm yourself, Kathy," said Rachel soothingly. "Your panic is returning." The holocom stepped toward Kathy, but the Starman closed her eyes and turned her head away and raised her hands in a warding-off gesture. "There's nothing you can do, nothing we can do to keep it from happening." Her voice rose, and then she buried her face in her hands. "May I see the video feed from your suit?" asked Rachel. Kathy kept her eyes averted, but lifted a hand in despairing resignation. "Seconds later," Rachel said, "I saw what you saw, but there was nothing alarming. I do not understand, Kathy." Kathy raised reddened eyes to Rachel's. "Nothing alarming? You didn't see the whole population of Larson's Folly captured in time? The planet covered in storms more powerful than anything we've ever known on Earth? You didn't see Earth itself and Amania threatened with extinction?" Rachel slowly shook her head. "Then you didn't see what I saw. I saw all that." "I do not deny it, Kathy, but it must have been solely in your mind. I heard no voice in Lemura, and I can see no threat to our planets." Kathy stood up enraged and shook both fists in Rachel's face. "Did you see the slab of concrete fall from the ceiling?" she shouted. "I'm sorry, Kathy, I do not deny that you saw those things, but I cannot see what happened only in your mind." "Only in my mind," murmured Kathy, sitting back down in her chair. "Only in my mind." Her eyes shot back at Rachel. "Do you think I'm mentally unbalanced?" "No, I think your mind has been manipulated by the Lucian." A glimmer of hope appeared in Kathy's face. "Yes," she said, "he manipulated me. He made me feel exhausted, then afraid, then starving, then full, then one thing after another. He manipulated me. Yes, I remember thinking he was just playing with me, and I ordered him to stop, and he did, I think. Or maybe he influenced my mind another way. Maybe everything he showed me was just stage managing me. Maybe he has no real power to do anything. Maybe he's only a master of shadows but can't affect anything that's real." Kathy leaped to her feet. "But there's some reality down there, Rachel. There's something there I can't explain logically, something I can't convey even to you. Something deeper than logic, deeper even than emotion. Humans have called it sixth sense and intuition. No, it's more than intuition. It's..." Kathy threw up her hands. "Rachel, something happened to those armies down there. And the feel of it when I walked among those ruins made my insides prickle as if I were covered with insects. You can't experience it, and I can't convey it to you, but it's real." Kathy's eyes flashed. "And he did return me to the Raptor in an instant. That was real. He has power of some kind, power beyond anything anyone in our race has ever known. Lift off, let's go home." A moment later, Rachel had raised the spacecraft from Lemura's Great Mountain. "I will engage the hyperdrive in 40 seconds, Starman Foster," announced Rachel. At that moment, something collided with the Raptor with colossal force, sending the starship spinning out of control. Kathy was thrown off her feet. She slammed into the bulkhead and then tumbled onto the ceiling as the ship gyrated wildly. The lights flickered and went out. Alarms rang throughout the ship. A moment later, the room was flooded with red light as the emergency backup systems kicked on. The automatic gyro stabilizers quickly brought the ship level and the alarms quieted. leaving instead a din of odd noises, hisses, crackling sounds, the screech of metal being twisted, sparking and popping. Kathy slipped back onto the deck, guided carefully by Rachel to prevent further injury. "Oh," Kathy groaned with a grimace, exhaling through gritted teeth. She rolled onto her left side and closed her eyes with the pain. Rachel knelt in front of her. "Your right arm is broken, Kathy," she said. "A clean break across your humerus. Your..." Kathy waited for Rachel to finish the sentence. "My what?" she asked. But there was no answer. She opened her eyes. Rachel was gone. "Rachel," said Kathy. She looked around the room. "Rachel," she cried again. "Rachel," she shouted. There was no Rachel. "I will take over now," said the mechanical voice of her suit. "You've broken your humerus. It is a simple fracture and should heal completely. Pain medication is already in your circulatory system and should be taking effect. I am now extending your arm very slowly and will set the broken bone and immobilize your upper arm. You will be able to bend your elbow momentarily." Kathy barely heard the voice and scarcely noted the first aid that her spacesuit smart system was applying. "Where's Rachel?" she whispered. A moment later, after her arm had been set and the suit had inflated its upper right arm to keep it stiff and protected, Kathy scrambled to her feet. At once she felt dizzy and almost fell. To steady herself, she reached out to the bulkhead with her right arm, then cried out in pain. "More pain medication, please, and a stimulant," she said. "I'm lightheaded." "The pain medication will take full effect in just a moment, Starman Foster," said the mechanical voice, "and I will provide only a mild stimulant as it is most suitable for your current condition." "Fine, fine," said Kathy. She felt steadier now and began to look around the room. Small items that had been unsecured were scattered haphazardly. She paid them no attention. "Computer," she cried out. "What happened? Where is Rachel?" The shipboard computer spoke up. "The Raptor was struck by a meteorite approximately a quarter of an inch in diameter. Impact occurred 4 minutes and 37 seconds ago at the fifth lower starboard panel." "That's the hold," said Kathy. "Yes, Starman Foster, the meteorite passed through the hold, exiting through the ceiling at the top of the port side of the ship, damaging the deck of the research laboratory directly above that portion of the hold. Air was escaping slowly from the research lab, but the leak was quickly sealed. The damage to the starboard panel of the hold was extensive. The hold has been sealed off from the rest of the spacecraft and is now in a vacuum state. One landing craft was severely damaged and cannot be repaired. There was other minor damage inside the hold. Shall I provide details?" "If the damage was minor, I don't need details. How about the rest of the ship? Where is Rachel?" "There is much minor damage in the rest of the ship, caused by the sudden tumult that occurred upon impact. I think that there is some damage in the computer core, but I am not fully aware of the conditions in that location. On the bridge, where is Rachel?" "I do not have enough data to answer that question. Shall I continue with..." "No." The Starman poked her head out the doorway and looked up and down the hall. It was a mess. When the ship had started spinning, items had flown everywhere, and now broken debris littered the hallway. She began walking toward the stairwell. The passage was dark, save for the glare of the emergency lights, which cast an eerie red glow. Overhead, she heard some static and sputtering. As she made her way to the ship's heart, she thought things over. "How do I know this was just an accident? Isn't it possible we're under attack? For that matter, how do I know I haven't been boarded?" Kathy fought to keep her fears under control, stepped out of the stairwell and opened the secure door that led to the ship's computer core. Inside this room were rack after rack of computers, the brains of the Raptor. When Kathy entered the room, she stopped and then looked around in dismay. When the ship was spinning out of control, one of the bolted down racks had broken loose and its parts had slammed into several computers. The highly organized room had become a chaotic clutter of damaged electronics. Some of the machines were untouched, but too many of them showed signs of external damage. It was not possible to evaluate how many had suffered internal impairment without analysis. This room, however, was not Kathy's goal. She carefully stepped over the broken equipment and headed toward the rear of the room. There she opened another secure door and entered a small vault. In the middle of the vault was a blue cube, roughly 6 inches on each side. The cube appeared to be filled with an ever-changing pattern of light. When she saw that it was undamaged, she breathed a sigh of relief. "I'm so glad you're okay, Rachel. I know you're built to withstand just about anything short of a direct hit with a nuclear weapon, but I was still afraid. Now I just need to find out why you're not running." Kathy looked around and soon discovered the source of the problem. The main power conduit leading to the vault had been damaged when the ship lost control. It took her a few minutes, but she was able to patch the cable. As soon as the power was restored, the holographic image of Rachel appeared. She had an expression of alarm on her face. "Kathy, are you all right?" "I don't know," Kathy replied. "Tell me what's going on. Are you in control of the ship again?" "Not at the moment," Rachel said. "I'm blind. Why have I been disconnected?" Kathy looked around the room. The ship's primary computer said that a meteorite hit the ship and we've sustained some damage. It did not seem to be fully aware. "What cables do you need me to repair so you can find out what's going on?" "My main interface with the outside is a component on the rack on the starboard side of the room. It must have been heavily damaged. When I probe the unit, I come to a dead end, no matter which path I take through the circuitry. All connections have been severed. I fear it is a goner." Kathy looked where Rachel indicated and saw a shattered chassis. Rachel was right. It looked hopeless. The Starman frowned. "That's your primary interface to the outside world?" Rachel nodded. "All of my links to the ship pass through that box. It manages the connections and keeps me from being overwhelmed. I do not believe we have a replacement for it on board." "Probably not," Kathy said, "but we've got lots of extra cable in the cabinet over there. Can I connect you directly to whatever computers are still operational? Can you tell me which machines you need to be linked to in order to fly the Raptor back home?" "I can, but it won't be nearly as efficient," Rachel said. "My capabilities will be extremely limited." "That's good enough for now. I just want you flying the ship instead of whatever emergency system is currently in charge." "I don't know what's going on, and that bothers me. I can't figure out why a meteorite that struck the hold should have done this kind of damage in this part of the ship." "That is strange. I will try to learn more once you get me connected again." Rachel gave Kathy precise instructions, and within 10 minutes the Starman had created a hard-wired link between the blue cube and the damaged bank of computers. The Starman then waited as Rachel took back control of the ship. After a moment, the normal lights came back on. "Ah, that's good," Kathy said with a sigh of relief. "One moment," Rachel replied. "Without that preprocessor, I'm having to manage many things at once. Please wait. This may take some time." Kathy nodded and tried to wait patiently. Her right arm throbbed, reminding her that she still needed medical attention. The pain was mild enough at the moment only to be a minor irritation, but she knew that that state would not last. "I'll stay here until I'm sure Rachel doesn't need me again." After 5 minutes, Rachel turned her attention back to the Starman. "I apologize for the delay. It took some time to find alternate methods of control. It appears that we were rammed by some object with enormous kinetic energy. The meteorite, if that's what it was. Are there any intruders on board?" "None that I've seen," Rachel replied. Kathy nodded. "So where are we now?" "At the moment, we are drifting away from Lemora. Our direction was altered by the impact, but I am currently restoring us to our original trajectory." "Can you make it back to Amania?" Rachel nodded. I can. We need to return home as quickly as possible, Rachel. Richard needs to know what I've discovered. You have no hard data. Kathy frowned. Yes, that's true. But we know something about the first races. Richard has as much experience with them as nearly anyone. He knows how they communicate without leaving any trace or hard data. I'll call him right after you fix my broken arm. You can help me prepare my report. Kathy felt the ship shudder slightly. Rachel looked at her and smiled. The hyperdrive has now been engaged. You are safe now, Kathy. Kathy shook her head. None of us will be safe until that city of nightmares has been neutralized. Neutralize the city? Rachel was surprised. How can we do that? The Lucians' greatest weapon was that planet, now almost abandoned, and according to Joe Taylor's reckoning, its power is weakening. It hasn't even been able to power Larson's Folly for 2,000 years. Our greatest weapon is Tharsos. I will recommend to Richard that we send Tharsos here. The Second Xenobot War will not be over until that power station is either taken over or rendered powerless or destroyed. Rachel paused before replying. Using Tharsos is no small matter. It will take the cooperation of many. The Lucian on Lamora may be master of more than shadows. Kathy looked bleak. I know. I need help on this, Rachel. Lots of help. Let's talk to Richard. He'll help us figure out what to do next. Secreted in the ruins of the second deck, a small rectangular box was embedded in a corridor wall. It was roughly 3 inches long by 2, and seemed to be just another piece of debris. There was nothing special about it that would attract the attention of anyone, including a suspicious Rachel who was always on the alert for any sign of invasion. It appeared to be a completely innocuous chunk of gray metal, like other connecting material in the fabric of the Starman's spacecraft. As the ship made its way through hyperspace, the rectangle lay inactive. The entity on Lamora had placed it there during the partial computer shutdown he'd engineered, and the subsequent confusion after his attack on the Raptor. He had given the box specific instructions. Once the spaceship reached Kathy's home system, it would be time to act.